Welcome into the Titan Size Podcast. I'm Luke Worsham, joined by the other two hosts of the Titan Size Podcast, Matthias Wadner and Will Lomas. We are going to do two things in this episode. We are going to talk a little bit about the Titans' recent victory against the Cincinnati Bengals at home at Nissan Stadium, and then we will preview the upcoming Thursday night football game that the Titans will participate in. They will face off against the Pittsburgh Steelers and wear their hashtag color rash uniforms. So let's talk a little bit about the I hate color rush. I think it's dumb, by the way. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second.
I like it, but
let's start off talking about this Bengals game. And I think the most surprising thing about this game, Titans played well, had a rough third quarter, but Marcus Mariota led them back at the end. All that good stuff, awesome. I think the most strangest and most surprising thing from this game was the fact that Adoree Jackson played, what, like five or six snaps on offense and carried the ball three or four times. I never saw that coming.
Yeah, and he didn't look out of place at all, just like he didn't in college when they gave him rushing touches and receiving touches. So that was awesome. In terms of the game itself, I thought it was a good win. I know the Bengals haven't been great this season by any stretch of the imagination, but they're still not a terrible team. They're a pesky team. They'll fight with you towards the end, and you saw that. And the defense played very well, aside from that 70-yard catch, which, I mean, that's just A.J. Green making a play right there. But other than that, I mean, they were fantastic, especially in the third quarter. They forced – well, in the second half, they forced the Bengals into – five straight punts, which is like actually ridiculous. When's the last time you saw a Tennessee Titans team do that? Except for maybe like the Browns game earlier this season. But I thought it was a good win. And it's even better that it was in the AFC, so we can keep improving that conference record. It's at 5-3 right now. And that's important just in case we don't win the division and we need that tiebreaker for a wild card spot. So good win overall.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you win an AFC game, like we were talking about, it's always great. You know, I don't think they're going to go on, you know, the Bengals are going to go on a run, but, you know, to beat a team with A.J. Green and Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins and William Jackson, you know, a lot of talented players is always a good thing. Don't forget, it wasn't too long ago where we were watching this team lose to Jacksonville that was an 0-7 Jacksonville, or lose to the Browns with Johnny Manziel. I mean, just beating teams with inferior talent that they had no business losing to. So, I mean, anytime the Titans get a win, I won't complain. But anytime they get an AFC win against a team that really probably should be closer to 7 wins or 8 wins a season than where they are now, I'm happy with it. You've got to grind out a lot of these ugly, nasty games, especially against a division like the AFC North that's just built on, you know, beating you up and getting to your quarterback and hitting him a second late, you know, all that kind of stuff. Anytime you come out with a healthy team and a win, you've got to be happy.
Yeah, agreed, especially on a short week.
Yes.
I think it's important after this game because, in a way, we saw two different sides of Marcus Mariota. We saw the side of him that When the cards were against him at the very end of the game, he led a very nice comeback drive to win the game for the Titans. And then we saw the side of him that threw a really ugly interception to William Jackson and struggled to get anything going for the entirety of the third quarter. So I want to pose this question to you guys because I think after this game especially, it's a fair time to ask this question. What is Marcus Mariota as an NFL quarterback? What kind of quarterback is he? Because he's obviously not, and I don't know that he will necessarily ever be this, but right now, he's not Drew Brees. He's not Tom Brady. I mean, this Mariota stuff, it's a funny joke, but I think we know that's not what he is. Does he still have a ceiling of potentially being that at some point? Or have we maybe seen flashes of what he's going to be, and maybe he ends up as someone like a Matt Ryan, someone like that, who's very, very streaky and a good franchise quarterback, but he's never going to be, you know, considered among the elite.
I was about to say, right now, I guess, or at least through the first couple seasons, I would say he's sort of Matt Ryan-ish in just like being an effective quarterback, nothing crazy like an Aaron Rodgers type. But like a Matt Ryan with legs is a pretty apt comparison. I don't think he's been as good this season as he was last season. Be that, I don't know why exactly that is. He's made a couple of mistakes that have been kind of baffling at times. Honestly, these last 2 weeks, he's had two interceptions that I'm not sure what he saw or what he was looking at exactly. But the good news is he isn't fumbling. I don't think he's fumbled one time this entire year, which is really good because that was a big issue of his through his first two seasons. And he's still getting acclimated to his new weapons. There were a lot of new changes on offense, personnel wise. And that takes time. I know it's already halfway through the season, but that could have something to do with it. And also he was also injured with the hamstring, limited him for a couple of games. So, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he's been bad by any stretch of the imagination. But he hasn't been exactly the guy we've seen him capable of being in the past. I'm not sure if we're going to see that towards the latter half of the season. I hope we do, because if we do, we're going to be a team to beat in the playoffs for sure. We're not going to be an easy out if he's playing lights out like he did through the middle of last season. So I hope that happens. I hope the offense gets better and that we can keep converting some of these drives into touchdowns like we did this past week instead of settling for field goals.
Yeah, I don't want to harp on this too much before I talk about Mariota, but I think we all kind of agree that the run game has taken a significant step back this year, and the offensive line outside mm-hmm. of Taylor Lewan has too. So you've kind of got to think Mariota is kind of piloting this offense that is not super creative. It didn't have its biggest playmaker for most of the year. If that's what we think Corey Davis is, the running game wasn't working and the offensive line hadn't been as good. You know, he's had all that going against him, and still, when he's been healthy, he piloted the Titans to a 20 plus point win against Jacksonville, who's the best team in, you know, the best defense in football according to everybody. They beat the Seahawks by a pretty wide margin until they started going into their shell late. You know, all these defenses and pretty quality teams that Mariota's beaten this year that don't show up in the stat sheet because he'll play really well and get them down to the two, and then they'll run it in with Henry, or they'll give Delanie Walker a jet sweep or whatever. But because of that and because of being injured early in the season, you know, he's not going to get the stats that he should to really pump up, you know, pump him up to the level of the NFL standard right now. But a lot of that is because the Titans aren't really behind much anymore. The Titans don't have to pass to get back in games like they have in the past, or they don't have to pass to keep up, because for the second and third quarter, they've done a really good job staying ahead and, you know, winning those quarters and keeping the other teams from scoring and managing the football, which is the way Mularkey and Rubisky want to play. But it's not going to lead to eye-popping numbers or any, you know, huge spectacular plays, because those just aren't really an emphasis in the playbook. So, you know, I think Mariota is ultimately a hyper-efficient quarterback who, when the running game works, he can do great things on the deep ball with play-action passes, and who can find the soft spot in, you know, zone coverage and find men that are, you know, running wide open in man coverage. But he needs time to do that, and he needs teams to be able to bite on the running game for that to work. And, you know, is he going to be Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, where it doesn't matter what other 10 guys are on the field, he's going to put up 30 points a game? No, probably not, because that's a really tough thing to do. But at the beginning of the year, for the first, I think it was five or six games of the year, when he was healthy for the full game, they were averaging over 30 points a game. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like he's been bad. It's just because he wasn't as effective in the red zone early as he has been his whole career, which he'll regress back to that mean. I mean, he's going to turn back in the past 2 weeks we've seen, you know, he's going to turn into a really good red zone quarterback, just for whatever reason it wasn't working early. But I mean, because he wasn't hot there in an offense that wants to be run heavy, he just didn't put up the numbers that most big name quarterbacks get. So, you know, long story short, I think Mariota can be a top 8, top 6 quarterback in the NFL, and I think he can win you a lot of games, but we may not have a guy who can just completely take over games week in and week out.
And to that point, I don't think you necessarily need that.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, we don't need that as long as our running game is performing adequately well, at least, which it really hasn't at times this season. But it's been okay for most of the season, and it should be fine going forward. Like you said, we haven't been falling behind, so we haven't really been throwing that much outside of maybe that Raiders game. I think he threw over 40 attempts, and I think he had 44 this last week, but because we ran so many offensive plays, because the Bengals had really short drives. But going forward, later in this season, I think only this week against the Steelers and maybe against the Rams in week 16 are really the only games where we're going to be potentially behind. Because the other games are against the Colts, Texans, Cardinals, and Jaguars, and the Jaguars don't really throw and get ahead of teams. So I don't think we're going to see Mariota put up huge numbers going forward for the rest of the season. But once if we get to the playoffs, and we do get into the playoffs, I could see us opening it up a little bit, maybe we'll see the best Mariota later in the season, hopefully.
And I think with franchise quarterbacks, when it comes to that position, you don't have to have a Brett Favre or a Donovan McNabb, someone who's going to be making the Pro Bowl every single year. But you also don't want, like DeShone Kizer or Jake Locker or someone like that who's just not that good,
Or Blake Bortles, hasn't been terrible this season.
He was pretty terrible against the Chargers.
How did they win that game?
Yeah, that's just kind of, the season they've been having, and that's, good for them, more power to them, live it up while it lasts, but it's not a very sustainable way to play football.
So one last topic I have from the Bengals game before we move on and start kind of talking about the Steelers on Thursday Night Football. We talked a little bit about this before we started recording the show, and that's how well the Titans cornerbacks have been playing at Connor Rogers. Logan Ryan and Adoree Jackson have really solved the cornerback problem that the Titans have been trying to fix for several years. And, they've both played really, really well. You mentioned, Will, that Jackson has like 20 PBUs so far this year. Logan Ryan has played both inside and outside. He manned up with AJ Green and traveled with him for most of the game on Sunday. I think the Titans have two pretty good cornerbacks. And again, as with franchise quarterbacks, you don't have to have Patrick Peterson or Chris Harris Jr. to have, quality cornerback play. You just don't want Parrish Cox and Valentino Blake.
I am sold on Adoree Jackson being worth the 18th overall pick. Even if he wasn't playing like incredibly well as a cornerback on defense, just his impact on special teams in the return game and even his impact on offense has been pretty good for us just as a team so far this season, which is his rookie season. And to top all of that off, he's playing really, really well on defense, and he's getting more comfortable every single game. So that's really good to see. And Logan Ryan has also been a fantastic addition to this unit. So I'm really, really feel good about them going forward.
Yeah, first of all, they're both young. You can talk about the quality all you want. They're both very good players right now. I don't know that they'll be all-time greats or anything like that, but, just in a vacuum right now, they're both playing really well. Adoree Jackson's been don't take this as me standing by a pre-draft take or anything that I had on Adoree Jackson. I was not an Adoree Jackson fan coming into this season. I didn't like the way he backpedaled or tried to backpedal. I thought he had to play in a cover three scheme where he'd have to have his eyes on the quarterback. I was wrong. He's lining up on one side of the field, and if you come on that side, it doesn't matter if you're Brandon LaFell or AJ Green or who you are, he's going to get in your business and he's going to knock passes away and he's going to be in great position, and he doesn't have to rely on his athleticism as much anymore to make up for technique mistakes. He's just learning how to be confident in that defense and learning how to read what offenses are trying to set up, and I give him all the credit in the world for developing as a rookie corner, because that just doesn't happen game by game in the NFL. Usually in the NFL, in your rookie year, if you're playing corner, you either succeed early and succeed late, or you take your lumps the whole year, and then that offseason you start to develop. But rarely do you see a guy who was targeted heavily in the preseason, heavily in the first few weeks of the season, and who did, you know, moderately well, but slowly develop into getting better and better and more confident. And, I mean, I think there's been two or three times where Kevin Byard has either jumped in front of Adoree Jackson and intercepted a ball that I think Adoree would have had a really good chance at, or where they both ran and deflected the same pass because they're both playing unselfish football and not trying to get a highlight reel, which is Mike Mularkey's brand. So, you know, that's where I stand with Adoree Jackson. And Logan Ryan has been one of the more versatile players, you know, on the team. He can play slot corner, and he can play he can play outside. He can play wherever. He can play man zone fine. But where, you know, first off, let me go back and spend a little bit more time on that. He's one of the best slot corners in the NFL. I mean, PFF had him as the second highest rated guy, and we pick at PFF, but they got that one right. I mean, he definitely has played. He's erased whoever's lined up in the slot frequently. So, you know, give him a lot of credit there. But when Kevin Byard had his deep interception last week, it was Logan Ryan who peeled off his guy on the double post and deflected the ball in the air because he got his eyes around and was in a good position where he could peek at the quarterback. He saw the ball in the air, tipped it up, and Kevin Byard got the interception that, you know, made him the league's leading interceptor. So, you know, he's been doing more than his fair share. He's not just playing within a system. He's starting to finally develop and get outside of it and make plays around that. So both corners look really good. And if this team gets a third corner, which I don't necessarily think they should, but if they do and they get him in the mid rounds and he's a good player that can play outside, they're going to be one of the top corner trios in the NFL, backed by one of the league's best safeties. So, I mean, that's clearly a position of strength for the Titans right now. Whether you watch them play or not, you should know that.
Yeah, I mean, and they're getting targeted like a heavy amount because a lot of teams think that our weaknesses in pass defense, even though we've been really good. And it shows up. I mean, we were looking at it before we came on the podcast, just how many pass breakups our Adoree Jackson had. And Adoree Jackson is just killing it right now. He's top 15 with – he has 9. Logan Ryan is top 20. He's got 8. And Kevin Byard is fourth, tied for fourth in the league with 12. So they're making plays on the ball, and – that's not something we could say last season.
Yeah.
So let's start talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. But before we do, really quickly, opinions on color rash. The awful light blue on light blue.
Big fan. Like, not a joke. I really like them. I know people don't, and I don't know why I do, but that the light blue the Titans have, I think it's the best color they have in their palette. I think it's pretty clear. You know, it's as close to the love you blue as we get to see. I don't know why. I love the way that powder blue looks. I'm cool with it. I wish they would bring out the tops or the bottoms more, but I get why it'd be a little bit ridiculous. But I'm gonna go against the grain and say I'm actually a pretty big fan.
I don't mind them, and this is my expert analysis, but I feel like Mariota always plays really well when we wear these jerseys. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure every time we wear these jerseys, he's making some cool plays.
He's 1-1 in color rush jerseys, both times against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah,
but that first season he was like, he had that amazing run where he beat Telvin Smith to the corner
on the zone read with like Antonio Andrews.
Yeah, I mean, he had some pretty impressive play. You know, it's another time where Mariota does a lot of great stuff, and for whatever reason, it gets lost to time. You know, people who you look back and see the score of that game will just count it as a loss. But, I mean, Mariota did great stuff.
We lost to the Jaguars that game.
What I remember from that game was, let's see, I remember DGB costing us the game at the very end because his lackadaisical effort. And I also remember the Titans were up by 4 with the ball, trying to put the game away, They checked it down to Phillip Super and all, and he fumbled, and Jacksonville scored a touchdown to take the lead and win.
Legend.
We can all say thank you, because that was the season where we ended up with the first overall pick and ended up trading down and getting the all-pro right tackle Jack Conklin, Derrick Henry, who has had ups and downs, Austin Johnson, who's really good,
Corey Davis.
And Corey Davis, who's been good when he's in and looks like, you know, he's getting better and better, give or take a fumble.
And I think Jonnu Smith, too, right?
Was he a part of it?
It was. I mean, I know he was.
It was either him or Taewon.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know how that wore. I think it was Taewon. I don't know. One of the two. Forgive that noise, but that's what it sounds like when I think real hard. And also, it gave us the leverage to trade up to get Conklin without giving up Kevin Byard, who was the third round pick that year.
Yeah. I remember after that Jacksonville game, I was so upset because of the way that they lost it. I blocked the Jaguars on Twitter. I kicked my window and like broke the blinds and then went to bed. Like that was
That was the sequence of events.
That was so bad. Because I remember tweeting, and it'll probably come up soon. I'll find some of them and retweet them on Thursday. I remember tweeting that day, like, the Titans are only three games out of first place in the AFC South because it was such a bad division that year.
Oh, that's like the roughest tweet you can have back in the years where, like, we were all struggling to get to 8-8.
Oh, gosh. Never again.
So
my quarterback. Also, Mariota plays great with facial hair. We need to talk about that too. Mariota's record when he has facial hair must be something like 7-1. We can never let him shave again. But all right, continue.
All right, that's a tough point Trends. To follow. So let's talk a little bit about this upcoming Thursday night football game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, the Pittsburgh Steelers' best player is Antonio Brown. And so I want to ask you guys, if you are Dick LeBeau and you're trying to scheme up how to defend the best receiver in the NFL, what do you do? And if I'm Dick LeBeau, I'm going to let Adoree Jackson play man-to-man on him all game with Kevin Byard over the top the entire game and let Logan Ryan deal with Juju Smith-Schuster, who's quickly becoming one of the most overrated players in the NFL.
Whoa, hot take.
Yeah, that's a hot take.
I kind of agree with your strategy there, because I do think Adoree Jackson matches up much better with Antonio Brown than Logan Ryan does. The only thing I'm worried about is some of those quick hitting routes that Antonio Brown does, where no one can cover him really. But Adoree Jackson is our fastest cornerback, so it does make sense for him to be on Antonio Brown, and I would not play off of Antonio Brown. I would not give him these 8 to 10 yard cushions that Dick LeBeau usually loves to.
He's the quickest route runner I've ever seen. He's gonna take three steps and then turn around and catch 5 yard balls all game, and he's gonna end up with 12 catches for 110 yards.
Yeah, and the problem is him after the catch is just electric, so it's really tough. So I would try to play him. Some press, press up on him a little bit. I do think Logan Ryan could match up with him at times. Whenever Brown travels in the slot, I do want Ryan on him. But Ryan on Smith-Schuster does seem to be a better matchup. What I'm kind of concerned about, I know Martavis Bryant hasn't done anything, and I know we haven't given up big plays outside of that Brandon LaFell catch last week. But I really don't want to see Martavis Bryant on like Bryce McCain, because that is just not going to end well, especially with Martavis Bryant's speed. So
Mike Tomlin knows all about Bryce McCain.
Oh, I'm sure
he's very familiar.
But I'm sure that Dick LeBeau has that figured out. I'm not too concerned about it.
If I'm Dick LeBeau, I change absolutely nothing, because that's what he's going to do. If I'm me as the defensive coordinator, I play. Okay, so there's a very specific strategy you have to have, I think, when you play the Steelers. You have to know they want to run Le'Veon Bell 25 times a game. So mm-hmm. in obvious running downs, you need to have Cyprian in, and you need to be able to play single high with Kevin Byard over the top. In non-obvious rushing downs, you need Cyprian off the field, and you need Denoris Searcy as your other safety, because he's more of, I mean, he's a strong safety by nature, but he's more of a free safety than Cyprian. So you have to have him in, and you have to play whoever's the corner on that side, because you can't go man, because that's not the way these corners have played. So I think you have to go whoever's the corner on that side, whether it's Bryce McCain or Ty Smith or whoever it is, you've got to let him stay over there and not mess up the rest of your field, and put Kevin Byard directly over the top and tell your corner his job is to press and then get underneath and take away the slant route, and then let Kevin Byard take anything else over the top. If you can get interior pressure on Roethlisberger, then you can play your regular two high. You can go to your cover three, your cover one with Kevin Byard back there. And you know that unless he's just going to throw up a true Hail Mary, trying to make sure that Kevin Byard doesn't get to it, you know, or that making sure that his wide receiver can get to it, he's got to test Kevin Byard and make sure that he can't get over there. So, I mean, that's how I would adjust. But again, I expect LeBeau to just play the way he's always played.
Yeah, I do think I agree with that interior pressure on Big Ben, because I mean, I don't know if it's always been this way, but Big Ben just seems a little skittish in the pocket nowadays. And he's been throwing some errant passes and some kind of baffling passes this season. He really hasn't been his usual self really over the last couple seasons. So I don't think there's a game where Big Ben's just going to go nuts. I don't think we've seen that Big Ben for a while, and I don't think we're going to see it this week, especially the way our defense is playing. And I'm not entirely sure what the if this is like an Avery Williamson game, or, well, no game isn't really an Avery Williamson game. But, I mean, Le'Veon Bell is just so patient when he runs that, and he's not really that quick or that fast at all, really. So I'm not sure Avery Williamson isn't going to make an impact in this game. I think he could have a pretty good game, just as long as he penetrates and sheds some blocks, which he hasn't really done much this season. But they're definitely going to want to run the ball 25 to 30 times. So as long as our run defense is good, we'll have a chance in this one.
Another thing is, don't put Jarrell Casey on David DeCastro. David DeCastro will beat Jarrell Casey because he's like the best guard in the NFL. Go ahead and sacrifice DaQuan Jones and Austin Johnson and let them man up there, knowing you're going to get beat there, but giving Jarrell Casey a chance to make a real impact against the left guard instead of against DeCastro. It's stupid to match up best on best in passing situations, because that's not how you win in the NFL. You need to make sure your biggest impact players can make impact plays, and if you put Casey on DeCastro, he's going to get neutralized.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think in years past, when the Titans in this situation would have looked at the Steelers, who are really one of the juggernauts of the AFC, and we've said that kind of jokingly about a lot of teams this year, like the Texans and the Jaguars, but in all seriousness, the Steelers are a juggernaut of the AFC. But I think this is a situation this week where the Titans look at this team and they're like, "What, these guys don't scare us? We've won our last four games, and yeah, we've kind of squeaked by, but they haven't exactly been clicking on all cylinders. I mean, we curb stomped the Colts in the fourth quarter, and they almost lost to the Colts in the fourth quarter. Like, I feel like the Titans, whereas in years past, they'd look at this game and be like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to play the potential AFC champions. And this game, they're like, we're playing mm-hmm. the Steelers. This is a team we can beat. We're better than the Steelers.
Yeah, these are not your father's Steelers in a lot of different ways. This team gets it done with a really, really good defense. I mean, they're after the Jaguars, I think they're the best defense in the league in terms of, they are second in the league in terms of points per game, and I think second in the league or first in the league in terms of yards per game given up. So this is a really good defense, both run-wise, although they have gotten run on a little bit this season, and definitely in pass defense. They've gotten some new players and some young players that have really shown up. And then they still have James Harrison running around out there at like 50 years old somehow. I don't know what they're giving him, but he's still making an impact somehow. But like you said, these really aren't the Steelers that are just going to throw it throw it and just throw it all day, throw for 400 yards on you like they used to a couple years ago. They want to play good defense and they want to run the ball. And they've been able to do that this season, especially in games like against Kansas City, Detroit. Last week's game was kind of interesting. They do seem to like play down to their opponents a little bit, which is interesting. I don't know what that will matter for the Titans, but they really haven't shown up in big games. Although they've come out with they squeaked out a couple wins, but they just seem to underwhelm in some of these spots where you think they're going to dominate. So I wonder if that's going to affect them in a primetime game on Thursday.
Yeah, I did. I posted an article this morning about how the Titans and Steelers have fared in common opponent games. This year, they played five of the same teams. It's Cincinnati, the Ravens, the Browns, the Jaguars, and the Colts. In those games, the Steelers are 4-1, and in those games, the Titans are 5-0. In those games, the Steelers have a +7 point differential, and in those games, the Titans have a +45 point differential. So,
wow.
On paper, it seems scary because they have one more win. We'll just call them Detroit. But just because they have one more win on paper, all the film the Titans have on these guys on common opponents, they're looking at themselves and saying, well, we do that better than them. We beat them by a wider margin. And games like the Ravens game where they, you know, went to a shell, games like, you know, games like the Jaguars game for the Titans where they completely pulled off the gas in the fourth quarter and didn't really try to throw the ball and, you know, kind of like went to a shell against Bortles, all that kind of stuff. There's plenty of times where, you know, the Titans could have made that a much worse situation, you know, and really widened the gap between them and the Steelers. So against common opponents, the Titans have looked outstanding, not necessarily compared to the Steelers, because like I said, they still went 4-1 in those games. But, I mean, the big wins were more dominating, and the loss by them was such a, you know, gaffe that it makes them look, you know, because they got beat by the Jaguars by something like 21
points.
They got
decked.
So they really kind of, you know, showed all their weaknesses in that game and really how to get to Big Ben and how to manufacture that pressure on him and kind of their weaknesses. Whereas in those games, you know, all the film that they have that corresponds with the Titans, they can't see how to beat the Titans because there's no film on it, which is rare. So, you know, that's just a stat that I think we should all kind of
acknowledge. Points that you're making, Will, I mean, strictly on paper, I don't think there's any doubt that the Steelers have much better personnel than the Titans do in a lot of areas. But from an on-the-field standpoint, one of my favorite quotes is from Michael Irvin. He says that successful football teams is not a collection of talent. It's a collaboration of talent. I think right now the Steelers are a collection of talent. They're not collaborating. Is it safe to say that right now the Titans, though they are not as talented as the Steelers, that the Titans play better football than the Steelers do?
I think they're kind of similar in terms of roster construction, at least.
In terms of talent, I'm not sure that the Titans are that much different than the Steelers. You know, the Steelers have Ryan Shazier. They have T.J. Watt, who looks good. They've got pieces, but it's not like the Titans are without talent. I mean, they have Kevin Byard, who's a star in his own right. They have Jarrell Casey, Derek Morgan, Brian Arakpo. You know, Wesley Woodyard's coming, you know, into his own, you know, and having a Pro Bowl season. There's a ton of talent on both sides of the ball for the Titans, and in terms of young talent, I'm fairly sure I would take what the Titans have over what the Steelers have. And even at quarterback, I think Mariota is better at this point than Ben Roethlisberger, just based on how low the lows are for Roethlisberger and how high the highs are for each player.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I keep looking at their roster, and I see a lot of parallels here. I mean, DeMarco and Le'Veon, obviously, Le'Veon is better. I'd say, but I mean, they're both two-way players. They can both run and catch very well. The receivers, obviously, Antonio Brown's a stud. We don't have Antonio Brown yet, but it could happen. Could be Corey Davis soon. But Brown, Bryant, and Smith-Schuster are—I mean—they're kind of similar to Decker, Davis, and Rishard Matthews. I think, in terms of stylistic components, in a way, and even throw in Tywan Taylor if you want with Eli Rogers or Hayward Bay, or well, no, not Hayward Bay. I'm not comparing anyone to Hayward Bay. I mean, both teams have a really good offensive line, although ours has underwhelmed a little bit. You look at their defense, they have Artie Burns, a promising young cornerback, just like we have Adoree Jackson, and they have a really good young safety in Sean Davis, although he doesn't play the same position as Kevin Byard. They do some similar things, at least in the run game. So I see a lot of parallels between these two teams, and I think they are two good teams. And I wouldn't pay too much attention to the point differential. I've been hearing this often, that the Titans aren't good because their point differential is -8. Yeah, when you lose 57-14 and in the same game you lose your starting quarterback, and that's why the score ends up like that, you're going to have a poor point differential. The Titans are not a -8 team. I would say they're almost on par with the Steelers, who are +39. I think they're both, at least from a talent standpoint and from an actual football standpoint, I think they're very similar teams, especially this season.
So I'll close with this question. Obviously, you know, we talk about Antonio Brown and how much of an impact he makes. He's going to make an impact, right? They're not going to be able to completely contain Antonio Brown. It just doesn't happen. So instead of asking you what matchup is the most important for the Titans to win this game, because obviously it's going to be whoever's covering Antonio Brown, what position group for the Titans do you think really needs to have their best game of the season if the Titans want to take down the Steelers?
The defensive line, because the Steelers have a really good offensive line. And there are times throughout games where Big Ben is getting like 4 or 5 seconds to throw the ball. And that just can't happen, especially against a receiving group like the Steelers have with Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, and now Juju Smith-Schuster. Those are guys that can get open, especially when you're giving Big Ben so much time. So the defensive line needs to get pressure, also with Arakpo and Morgan. I think a really good matchup in particular to watch is Arakpo against Villanueva. The Steelers' left tackle. He's just a massive human being, and so is Arakpo. Arakpo's not going to be able to just bull rush him, so he's going to have to mix it up a little bit, and that'll be an interesting matchup to watch. But I definitely think the Titans' defensive line and outside linebackers need to play particularly well in order for the Titans to be able to pull out a W.
Yeah, and I was going to go with inside linebackers because historically, what the Steelers like to do is, you know, I've already sung the praises of David DeCastro once, but they like to pull David DeCastro from right to left and get him in open space and that power and trap and all that kind of stuff. And if you've got linebackers who know how to read that pull and guard, they can get out in front and really make that an impossible play because they know exactly where they're going to go. And if they stop at the backside pressure from the tackle that gets left unblocked, should end up in a tackle for loss. If you have a slow linebacker who doesn't understand or who can't come up and eat that block, then you're good. I mean, it's going to kill you. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have a linebacker who's ready to eat that W, you're going to be in trouble. And not only that, but with Roethlisberger not being as mobile as he used to be, not that he was ever Russell Wilson or, you know, Mariota or anything like that, but, you know, he used to be able to escape to his right and kind of throw, you know, make some time. If you can get Jayon Brown or Wesley Woodyard in the backfield really causing trouble for Roethlisberger at his launch point that he likes to, you know, send the ball from, which is behind the right guard, about a yard and a half is where he really likes to throw it from. If you can get players there, whether it's inside linebacker stunts or sending a guy that opens up Jerome Casey or whatever it is, if you can get a guy back there and really mess that up, you can hamper this offense, you know, to you can really make them, you know, not even mediocre. I mean, they'll just be bad. And all that starts with inside linebackers knowing how to read their keys and getting home when they blitz.
Mm-hmm. Also, underrated player to watch on the Steelers, former Titan Cody Sensabaugh. So look out for him.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting. That's my matchup that I'm going to pick. Cody Sensabaugh versus Eric Decker in the slot.
Dude, he's going to play because Joe Hayden got injured. He broke his.
Yeah,
baby. I didn't even realize Cody Sensabaugh still played.
I didn't know either. I literally just saw it on their roster.
Is Josh Dobbs their backup quarterback?
No, it's Landry Jones, but Dobbs is like the third.
I have a good friend who's a big Steelers fan, and he hates Landry Jones.
Yeah, well, wait till he sees more Josh Dobbs.
I don't know. He had that Butch Jones development.
That's true. He got a bunch of leadership reps in the preseason, so I mean, he's really set.
Leadership reps.
And on that note, we're going to get out of here and hope that the Titans can pull off a big win. I don't think it's necessarily an upset, even though the Steelers are probably favored.
They're favored by a full touchdown, by the way, which is insane.
Seven.
That's nuts.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I don't think the Steelers are going to cover, even if they win. Go on Bovada. Take that. The Steelers are not going to cover. You heard it here first. And,
Pennington.
From Matthias Wadner and Will Lomas, who is a betting man and who will give you Bovada advice if you need it.
Take the points.
Yeah, I am Luke Worsham. Thank you for listening to the Titan Size Podcast. We will be back next week.